Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Recall the words of the Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 45, especially verse 8, when Joseph says, "So it was not you who sent me, but God." This is our text. You may be seated. Isaac, the son of Abraham, had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, you remember how that goes? He had 12 sons, Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. And by far, Jacob's favorite was Joseph. And with that favoritism, there was some jealousy, envy, strife among the other brothers towards the favored son, Joseph. So they plotted, and they had him thrown into a pit. And when some traveling Ishmaelites came by, they sold their brother as a slave. They went back to their father, old Jacob, and they told him, "Joseph's dead, been killed by beasts." It was a lie, but it did reveal what was in their hearts. It was as though they said to Joseph, "You are dead to us." Well, then things got difficult. All over the world, things got difficult. There was a great famine spread across Canaan and all the known world at the time. So the brothers, for their families to provide, they traveled to Egypt, hoping to find their relief. And now that brother of theirs, Joseph, whom they had said, "You're dead to us," is in Egypt, and he's alive, very much alive. And that's where we hear this reading from Genesis today. And we hear of Joseph speaking so kindly to those terrible brothers. He says, "Come near to me." Joseph's attitude of forgiveness is unexpected. It's unusual. It's unnatural. That kind of attitude of forgiveness is that which is born of faith. The natural thing to do would have been to say, "Don't you remember what you've done to me?" The natural thing for a man like that of such power, second only to Pharaoh himself, would have been to exact retribution from his brothers and to bring his power and authority down and punishment upon them. But out of faith in a God who forgives sinners, Joseph believes in a bigger picture. He doesn't despise his brothers. He loves his brothers. He's able to say, "God did not send me here, or you did not send me here. God sent me here." He loves his brothers especially because God was at work. God was using them. God was using them as his instruments for the bigger picture, for the greater good of bringing relief to those who were suffering, food for those who were hungry. Never in all of this do you ever hear Joseph say anything like, "Oh, I wish it had been better. I wish God would have stepped in sooner to straighten things out with me and my brothers." No, he says, "God sent me here." You see, Joseph loved God. And so he loved what God gives. Dear friends, that's what I want you to meditate on today. Love God and love what God gives. You can't know God's plans for sure. You can't get into God's head about each thing that goes on in your life and in the world around you. You can ask why. You can ask why not. But you could also say, with the attitude that Joseph had, I love God, and I love what God gives. Think that way about the people that you have in your life, brothers, sisters, family members, neighbors, people at work. Precious people, gifts from God, placed by God into your life according to God's good and gracious will. But sometimes you're tempted, aren't you? Tempted to love God, but get fed up with the people that God has given you. Well, the people that we have in our lives, the relationships that we have with them, it's only for the time being. Even those lifelong relationships that we love and cherish don't last forever. But now God is calling you to an eternal life. And so he gives you things for this life in the present. God also gives you things for the life to come. Love God and love what he gives you. For your eternal life, but God is calling to you. He gives you things that you would know him. And that you would know his son, Jesus, your Savior, who has forgiven sins and opened up eternal life for you. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The catechism teaches us to say it this way, that it means we should fear, love God, that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Just as God gives and appoints and ordains in our life resources so that we have our daily bread, people so that we have the relationships we need in life, so also God gives instruments, means for us to know him and know our salvation that he's given in Jesus. To have that forgiveness of our sins, to have eternal life, to have salvation from death and from the devil's rule, and have salvation from that coming judgment that is the destiny of all sinners. Love God and love what he gives you. God gives preaching and his word. You know, this is more comfortable for me to say here to you folks than it is for me to say to my folks in Fredericksburg, where I'm their pastor. God gives you preaching and his word. So love God and love what he gives you. Love your pastor. Love those men who preach God's word to you, who bring to you those things that teach you about Jesus and remind you of his ongoing eternal love for you, that bring you eternal life. Love God and love the things he gives you. Love baptism. You know, it's just a little water, ordinary water. It's easy to despise and take for granted. But love God and love what he gives. With that water, he gives great and precious promises and commands. When he says things like this, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He says this promise is for you and for your children. Love God and love what he gives you. When those of you who are baptized, like Daisy, your sins are washed away. Like Daisy, God looked down upon you from heaven and says, you are my child and an heir to my kingdom. Now, I know some will say, I don't despise preaching. I don't despise the word of God. I never despise my baptism. Consider Joseph's bold statement with his brothers. It was not you who sent me here, but it was God. Joseph could have had retribution and anger. Or Joseph could have been more passive in his aggression and just left his brothers. Say, I'm done with you. Say, you're dead to me. That's how we often do when we're sinned against. When someone's offended us or annoyed us, it's just a tempting thing to do to turn our backs and say, fine, let it go. Joseph didn't ignore them, although he could have, but he spoke kindly to them. I'm concerned. Concerned about those who love God but have a passive-aggressive attitude towards the good things that he gives and shrug their shoulders and turn away and don't take full advantage of what gracious thing God gives us in his house and through his instruments of grace. Rejoice, dear friends. God gives you what you need for this life. And more than that, God gives you what you need for the life to come. God gives you his word gladly. Hear and learn it. It leads you to Jesus, who has washed your sins away. In the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, Hebrews 2, verse 13, we hear some words that Jesus speaks, the Son of God, speaks to his Father in heaven. He says this, "Behold, I and the children God has given me." Jesus considers us, the people he has saved, as the things that God has given to him. Jesus loves his Father, and he loves what God has given him. Let that be an amazing image in your mind. Jesus speaking to his Father, "Here I am. Here I am with what you have given me." As he picks you up, like a good shepherd would hold tenderly the lamb, and he says to his Father, "Here am I and what you have given to me. Here am I and what you've appointed me to have and to hold." As Daisy was washed, as she was sanctified, as she was purified, there is the Lord Jesus. "Here I am with your holy daughter whom you have given to me." And on the last day, dear friends, we'll stand with our Savior. And he will speak on our behalf to the judge of all the universe. And he'll say, "Behold, here I am with those you have given me. Amen." The peace of God that passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.